The challenge that Brian threw out to us, particularly as it relates to this problem of what's dominant, people or property, is something that Dennis Brutus is going to be able to very effectively expand upon. Because yesterday I had an opportunity to meet with him, and he has a fantastic way of explaining a theory. I don't know if it's his originally, but it's called Race to the Bottom. And it talks about how the WTO's policies, and we have to learn to do this, their policies, their program is systematically aimed at making the interests of corporations, big businesses, in and out of this country dominant over the needs of the overwhelming majority of workers, people who are not working, the environment, and everything else that gets in their way at maximizing profit. So people have to come before profit. Us saying that is not going to be enough. Mr. Brutus is someone that is, based on his experience, is going to be able to enlighten us on a whole variety of ways that we can practically bring that message to the people of Seattle and King County and all the other visitors that we're going to have over the next couple months as we build this movement to expose the real activities of the WTO. Dennis is currently the professor of African literature at the University of Pittsburgh. In addition to his political activism and academic work, Mr. Brutus is a distinguished poet. He is the recipient of the Langston Hughes Award for Poetry and the Paul Robeson Award for Artistic Integrity. His latest collection of poetry is Still the Sirens. So without further ado, I bring you Mr. Dennis Brutus.
Thank you. My thanks to you and to the people of Seattle, and especially the people who are standing for fair trade, for bringing me here and giving me this opportunity to speak to you. And my special thanks to Larry Gossett, himself an old campaigner who's been in the struggle from the days of our anti-apartheid struggle, so it's good to renew and to begin to be allies again. And this time, this is not a South African struggle. This is not a national struggle. Right now, we're in the big one. Right. This is a global struggle. And no secret about it. When they come to Seattle, they say, we are the World Trade Organization. We not only aim to run the world, we're going to write a constitution for the whole world, and we can tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. And when they say you are not allowed to protest against injustice, they are taking from you one of your basic rights, one of the central rights of every human being is the ability to say, I don't like this. I think it's wrong. I'm going to oppose it. I will not support it. But you're going to learn a new word. And it was referred to by Byron Rushing when he said, you're going to have to learn that certain things are called WTO illegal. And when they are WTO illegal, it means you cannot do it. And however important that right may have been to you before, there is now the attempt to take that right from you. We've had a specific case in the case of Massachusetts where they've said, hey, you passed a law, you can't pass that law. We will create a panel composed of corporate representatives who will say, this is bad for business. This is not free trade. And therefore, we call it the WTO illegal. This is the heart of the matter, and that's what I think we must concentrate on this morning, and what is going to be the challenge facing all of us. Now, one of our problems is that most of us don't know what the WTO is. And I think one has to be quite honest and say, when did this thing come into existence? And who created it? And why does it have so much power that they can say this is a world trade organization, and the Secretary General, a man called Renato Ruggiero, said, we are writing a constitution for the world. No punches pulled. This is what they're about. You can quote me on this, because I'm quoting Ruggiero. He said, we are writing a constitution for the world. And in that constitution, they will say what your freedoms are and what your freedoms are not. And because we don't have the time, I'm going to just focus on one fairly narrowly, and then I encourage you to pick up some of the material which is available there, which has some excellent things in it. I think we can manage without this one. I recommend particularly the one that says, say hello to the WTO. Say hello to the WTO and say goodbye. Say goodbye to many of your basic rights which are going to be taken from you as a result of the WTO. And then you have this marvelous piece which has just come out, which says, say no to WTO, and talks about the People's Assembly, which will be here in Seattle, November 28th to November 30th. So the material is there. And the things we can't cover today and the things we can't get to in depth, I'm delighted to see that the material is available. I congratulate the people who have put this material together, and particularly those who organized today's event. Because it seems to me what we're seeing here is just the beginning of a powerful movement. People will come into the city from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America to join with you. And together we are going to say no to the WTO. And when we say no, I assure you that your message will go around the world. And people who are suffering the consequences of WTO policies will not only be grateful that you have taken a stand, but they will join you in that protest against the WTO. And we're going to set in motion a movement and a demand and a protest around the world which is going to say no to the WTO, and it's going to start right here in Seattle. Yeah. That is the serious challenge that confronts us. That is the challenge we must meet. To mobilize ourselves and our organizations, the trade unions, the churches, the community educations, and the students who were so dynamic in the anti-apartheid struggle, we've got to pull them in again. And their energy and their ingenuity and their inventiveness, we're going to have to find that and reach out for it and bring it into the struggle. And together the word is going to go out from Seattle, no to the WTO, right from here. But let's look at what the WTO has done. There's this nebulous monster out there. And Brian has given us a quick run through of where it came from. Out of GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, from the creation of the Uruguay Round to the emergence of the WTO itself as a World Trade Organization, with a very important difference. Before that, under GATT, you had agreements which were based on consensus. Organizations got together, they agreed on a policy, and they said, we'll carry this out. The other important difference was that the agreements under GATT were without sanctions. They were not enforceable. There was no punitive force to punish you if you did not take action. Both those two elements have been removed in the WTO. When it takes a decision, it takes it on a vote, and those who don't vote are said to be part of a consensual agreement. So you get around disagreement that way. And secondly, the capacity to enforce, to punish, so that anybody who does not accept an agreement once it has been laid out by the WTO, that country can be punished. Any country. You think countries are immune? The United States can be fined for breaking a WTO agreement. The European countries were fined $200 million for breaking a WTO agreement. So the capacity now is there to enforce and to punish, to compel countries to obey the WTO. That's one important thing you have to remember. And Brian has mentioned another very important one. Their decisions are made in secret. That's one reason why lots of us don't know about the WTO, because so much of its activities are conducted in secret. Bear that in mind, and then I'll give you a third consideration. Not only can they enforce it, not only do they do it in secret, but the WTO can punish, can fine, and worst of all, the WTO has the capacity, and this is going to be hard to believe, but it's true, the WTO has the capacity to override the laws and the constitution of any country in the world. Any country in the world, including the United States. The WTO has that power, that if in the United States you have a law that says you can do this, the WTO can say, sorry, we say you can't do it. And again, that's going to be hard to believe. So let's walk you through just a couple of the specifics. There's an excellent little publication, I believe it's out on the table, Sally will take care of you, in which you get the details of a couple of cases that I'm just going to mention very briefly now. I'll give you one of them. It's about bananas. It's about Chiquita bananas. It's about Dole bananas. And the rule was made by the WTO. And you say, what are they going to do with bananas? And this is the story. The European countries were buying their bananas in the Caribbean from little countries out there in the Caribbean, great climate, but not much to do. They grow bananas and they sell them to Europe. And many of these were colonies of the European countries. Now those countries are buying the product from their former colonies to help those economies. Makes sense. But then the United States went to the WTO and said, hey, the European countries are buying bananas from the Caribbean. We want them to buy bananas from Chiquita. We want them to buy bananas from Dole. Now, it's true we don't grow too many bananas in the U.S., but we own Chiquita. We own Dole, and we want you to compel the European countries to buy Chiquita and to buy Dole. And the World Trade Organization, the WTO, said, right on. And if the European countries don't buy Dole and Chipita, we will punish them. We will fine them. We will fine them $200 million. And they said, uh-oh, but then supposing the French and the Germans say, too bad, you know, go ahead and fine us, we won't pay. That's one way around. Aha. But the WTO says, but every time you sell a bottle of French wine in America, we'll stop it right at the border and we'll put a tax on it, and that way we'll get our $200 million fine. And every time you send some French perfume in, whether it's Chanel Numero 5 or whatever it is, put a fine on it at the border, there'll be a new tax, a new tariff, and that way you get your $200 million. So that's just one simple example. I'll give you a couple more, but again, you can read them up. The World Trade Organization gets involved in an argument about, shall we say, petroleum, gasoline. They get involved in an argument about gas coming out of Venezuela, which is not very well refined, so an awful lot of pollution coming out of that gasoline, as opposed to gasoline coming out of Canada, say, which has been well refined. The WTO steps in and says, hey, you mean you punishing the Mexicans or the Venezuelans because their gasoline is not so well refined? You know what that is? You are interfering with free trade. And we stand for free trade. So we are going to threaten to punish you if you demand clean gasoline. You have to accept that gasoline with those emissions, because to put a tariff on it is, in fact, to be guilty of a restriction on free trade. So the WTO wins the case. The third one, just rapidly, it's dealing with fishing, it's dealing with catching shrimp, it's dealing with catching tuna, and it's all kind of complex, so I hope you'll read about it. I'm just going to sum it up very quickly, because it's about something called TEDs. TEDs. What are TEDs? TEDs are turtle excluding devices. So when you catch your tuna or your shrimp or whatever, you have nets which keep the turtles out. Because if the turtles get into the net, they get killed, although nobody's particularly interested in eating them. And the turtles are steadily becoming extinct. So to protect the turtles, you have nets which exclude the turtles, prevent them from getting in. The United States has that, and it's a good law. But there are countries in the Pacific and in Asia that took the United States to court, took it to the WTO, and said, hey, that regulation, it's true, it's helping the turtles, but it's spoiling our trade. That's interference with free trade. And so we demand that you stop that requirement. And guess whose side the WTO found for? Whose side they came out in support of? Those who said, remove the turtle excluding devices, because that's a restriction on free trade. Now we could go on and talk about timber, where they've done the same thing. We could talk about pollution of the streams. We could talk about protection of workers' rights. We could talk about protection of the environment, protection of women, laws against child labor. You go through a whole catalog of things, and you find in every case the WTO will find in favor of the corporation, will find in favor of the lower standards. So when Larry Gossett talks about a race to the bottom, we're talking of quality going down all the time. Human quality, quality of life, quality of the environment, quality of jobs, all of that going down because the WTO says we're in favor of free trade. And free trade means no control, no restrictions. The pursuit is for profit, not people. And people are not important. It's the profit that's important, and you have to maximize the profit. And one way to maximize the profit is, of course, to reduce the wages. You can push the profit up if you can push the wages down. And so you have a clear gap, which everybody can see today in the world created by the WTO and the IMF and the World Bank. The rich get richer. And the poor, as we all know, are getting poorer. There are now 1.5 billion people across the world living in starvation, living at the poverty level. And this is a dramatic increase reported by the United Nations and the World Bank itself. They say that the figure has gone from 1.3 billion to 1.5 billion, already 200 million more starving people in the world. That's your race to the bottom. And that's what we're talking about when we say we have to confront this ideology, this new almost religion, a new theology which says people are not important, profits are important, and the bottom line is to maximize profit. That's what the market is about. The market dictates instead of morality. The market decides that what is important is to increase your profit, even at the cost of the environment. If you have to cut down the forest, if you have to poison the water, if you have to depress people's wages, or you keep them stagnant so that while they appear to be good, because the price of goods is going up all the time, the value of your wages are going down. You have to take more money to buy the goods you used to buy in the past. All of this part of the same process, which is going into a new, more dramatic, more dangerous phase when they come to Seattle. When they come to Seattle, they say they're going to do two things. The one is called the ministerial round. The ministers of finance of the various countries will come here, and they will be welcomed by President Clinton and presumably by all of you as well. Well, okay, that's up to you. It's a matter of politeness. But when they start kicking in your TV set and they start smashing your cups and saucers, and when they start overturning the tables and destroying the quality of life for people in Seattle, in the state of Washington, across the United States, and across the world, we say, that's the point where you say, this has got to stop. This is the point where we say, no to the WTO. And we make it clear that what they have done for the past 4-5 years, we will not allow it to continue. First, we want an examination of their record, that destructive record which has caused devastation across the planet. We want to look at that and say, hey, where do you get that power? And what people across the world were crazy enough to give you that power? And we say no to the WTO. We say we are not going to let you go any further. This is where we draw the line. This is where we say to the WTO, stop right here in your tracks. No new ministerial round, no new what they call the millennial round. Preparing, if you don't mind, to write a blueprint for the world for the next 1,000 years. A millennial round. We say we will not stand for it. We will not be silent. We will let our voices be heard around the world. And the word that goes out from Seattle must be no to the WTO. 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 That's our message.
We invite you to join with other concerned members of civil society in their demonstrations against the World Trade Organization in Seattle from November 29th to December 3rd. People from all across America and around the world are coming to Seattle to oppose the anti-democratic WTO during its secret closed-door trade negotiations. For more information on the demonstrations, talks, and workshops held by civil society during the WTO negotiations, please call 1-877-STOP-WTO or visit the websites www.peopleforfairtrade.org and www.seattlewto.org.